Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
One of the things that we do here as the American church is much of the world looks to us for finances because we are blessed and resourceful in this country, okay? And I want to share a couple things with you. And if you're visiting this morning and you had apprehension about going to this church or any other church because all they do is talk about money, you ask those from this church how often I talk about or preach about money. I really don't, almost to an embarrassment. I feel released to talk about it just briefly as we close this morning because I'm not talking about money for this church. Just not, okay? This is about giving to missions, being a part of something bigger than we see, being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so I'm going to relate a couple very quick things from the Scripture. And in Romans chapter 12, I want to read this to you. If you want to follow along, I'm going to go very quickly for the sake of time. I want to talk to you about a little bit about money and giving. Romans 12, verse 6. And he's talking here, about the Christian life, and he begins to talk about how all of us together have different strengths, different giftings. That's what makes us a body, okay? It's the beauty about friendship. It can be the beauty about coworkers. It can be the beauty about a committee, that everybody brings maybe some similar gifts but different giftings. And Paul begins to write, and he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. In other words, God has distributed some wonderful gifts when you were created to you. Not just spiritual gifts that he writes about in another place, but giftings in who you are as a person, okay? And sometimes those giftings get a little corrupted because we are corrupted, but there's giftings that have been given you. And he's beginning to talk about how all of you have gifts, how we have gifts together, and together we become this healthy body. We can function properly. And he just begins the list. He says, you know, if a person... his gift is prophesying, then let him use that gift to the portion of his faith. If their gift is serving, let them serve. In other words, they're people who just love to do things behind the scene. They consider other people and what people would need and what would help people. And just says, you know, if that's their gift, then let them serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. If it's encouraging, then let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, then let them do that generously. Liberally. Now, we're all supposed to give. We're all supposed to serve. We all do a measure of teaching. It doesn't mean we're all in a classroom or we all have a pulpit. You know, there are certain things we maybe would like to do. I mean, you know, I'd love to be a singer. I really would. I'd love to be a singer. I appreciate music. But I have a hard time even remembering the words. And to hear me sing, it's not a pleasurable deal. Okay? It's a little painful. The only time that I really felt like I sing well was actually a few weeks ago when we had a missionary on a Wednesday night. He went and played the piano. And I felt like, man, I'm doing pretty good tonight. I don't know what happened. Are you starting to bless me with this beautiful voice? Well, you know what it was? I could sing so well with the piano. The piano was out of tune. It's just my natural, you know, out of tuneness, so to speak. You know, it'd be wonderful, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go do it. It's a nice thing, but I've got to discover where my gifts are, the gifts that are developing, the things that, you know, kind of grow in our life too, not just all natural gifting, disciplining ourselves to do better at something. But, you know, for the singing part, I don't have it. I could work as hard as I want, and I just don't have it. And so I make a joyful noise, just like many of you. Anyhow, he who contributes has the ability to give. God gave you the ability to make money. Maybe not a lot of it, but he's given you the ability to make money. Then for you, then contribute generously to the needs of others. This is not about a guilt thing. You know, we have possessions. All of us in this room, we have possessions. We have things that we don't even use. Okay, we do, all of us. We do. You know, I guess one of the greatest, you know, crimes and sins of America is how much we waste. Okay? I know it. And this is not up here to beat us with a stick and say we should be poor and we should live like other countries. That's not the point. What I'm saying is God has given you a gift, not only where you live, but, you know, he's given you the ability, and we're supposed to be generous. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to give liberally. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 1, this is wonderful how Paul wrote this. He just says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry." In other words, they didn't have very much. They didn't have a lot to give. But they gave. In fact, Paul, in this context, he tried to say, "Listen, appreciate you wanting to give. I know that you don't have much. So you know what? It's okay. You don't have to be a part of this." And they argued with him and said, "Don't you," and I'm paraphrasing, "don't you stop us from giving." They gave out of their extreme poverty. Can we give out of our need? Can you and I do that? Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to take a second offering this morning. Not going to do that. Maybe many preachers would. You know, you talk about the money, you tell us the truth a little bit, and then say, "Okay, well, now we're going to respond to it." Because to me, it's not about money. It's about the attitude of our heart. It's about our attitude. And does the Lord own us? Are we his? You see, we make it about the money. It's like sometimes, why should I can only afford $5, and why would I give it? Because, you know, the $5 just isn't going to make a dent in this whole thing. Well, if that's our attitude, we don't understand kingdom economy. It's not about the amount. It's about the attitude of the heart. And God knows how to multiply, and he knows how to meet needs. Now, if we're trying to only get away with $5 and we have more, that's a different attitude of the heart. That's not called stewardship. That's just called being selfish and cheap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, He writes this, and I'm going to start round about verse 7. It's verse 6. It just says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Here's the deal. When we give, we're not supposed to do it reluctantly. That's like, I hate to give this. I want to hang on to this. Because this is mine. It's mine. I don't want to give this. Oh, I'm supposed to give this. I'm a Christian. Oh, I got and the offering's working its way back here. Wish I had to go to the bathroom now. But I just went and came back. People are going to think something else. You know, it mine. The other is you can hear a message or a teaching on it, and we can hear something motivating, and we feel inspired, and we can feel emotional, and we can look at the needs on a screen in another place, and we feel this compassion, and we feel this compulsion, and so now it's a perfect time to take a really big offering. And then we do something we shouldn't do. That's why I'm not taking a second offering this morning. I want us to uphold the integrity of the teaching. It's about the attitude of our heart, and we shouldn't give reluctantly, and we shouldn't give under some compulsion and do something we shouldn't do either. We're supposed to give with the attitude of cheerfulness and joy. Even when it hurts. Even when it's out of our need. We're supposed to give cheerfully. You know, one of those where you say, hey, we're going to honor the Lord with our tithes and offering. Woohoo! You know, and you start to dance and sing and you can't wait, you know, to just, I'm happy about this. Because that's an act of faith and it's an attitude of the heart. Okay? I should be more cheerful about doing that than the cheer and gratification I get from paying all my bills on time. Which is a really good feeling, isn't it, Jessica? I just asked you the other day, now, did you make your payment on the, you know, on your insurance? And your, she goes, Dad, I took care of all that at the beginning of the month. And it feels good. She doesn't like to have it unpaid. It bothers her. Okay? And there's a joy in that. But the gratitude and the cheerfulness and the joy and the thanksgiving in giving. I'm going to close with this. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days, Paul's writing this to them, the church there. In the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. This is about kingdom principle. They continued to send aid. They continued to send money. They continued to send resource so that Paul could do the works of ministry. Because it's, you know, that's what it takes. It takes money for us to do just about anything. And it takes money to do the works of ministry and reach people and help them, encourage them, care for their needs, all of that. Paul says, You sent it time and time again. Even though Paul didn't have to come back and talk to him and say, hey, can you we raise some money? He was just there, and they did it. Time and time again. And Paul says, you know, it wasn't about the money you sent. There was a need, and you met the need, but it wasn't about the gift you sent. What Paul was excited about, because he understood kingdom economy, kingdom of heaven economy, he said, what I'm excited about is not the gift you sent. I'm excited about the account, your spiritual account, how God looks upon you and what he is going to do for you. Even though it wasn't, that's not why you sent it. The motivation wasn't to give so you could get back. The motivation was to just give. To just give. Can we give without strings attached? Can we just give to give? Because it's who we're supposed to be. We give with no strings attached, so those that we have given to do not feel like we have leverage over them. It's a terrible thing to be under somebody else's thumb, isn't it? What about giving without repayment? What about giving because we're supposed to give and do it cheerfully? You know, I'll just tell you, I'm very grateful for what the Lord has done here in this church. You know, and I'm thankful for the leadership of this church even prior to my arrival. I mean, this church, you know, we carry no debt. We have money in the bank. We give more money today to missions and projects and benevolence and local needs and around the globe than this church ever has. Okay? Now, we've had to take care of some things around here, and we are so grateful we have the ability to pay cash for those things at this point in the life of the church. And these are big items, not just small items. And I'm just so grateful for what the Lord has done. I'll tell you that, and not that the attitude was poor, but we all change and grow, right? Right? I am so happy about the attitude of the deacons who have been in office since my arrival here. And I have watched their attitude about money continue to change and develop and grow, and their attitude about what being a steward in the house of God is. Because being a steward in the house of God in many places excludes generosity. And not here. They have embraced what generosity is. Oh, they're still responsible financially. You can't give everything away under compulsion. But I'll tell you what, they're mighty generous. They're mighty generous. And it's not, and I don't tell you that just to build them up or to try to put you at peace with the leaders, you know, the board of deacons, trustees in this church. That's not what I'm doing. Because when you give unto the Lord. And whether they spend it right or inappropriately is not your issue. You did your part. Right? Isn't that the beauty? Is when I give, and if I give to some ministry or some missionary, and I don't know what happens to the money, doesn't matter. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'd like it to go to where what we gave it for, but it, and I mean, that's our hope. But the reality is this. I gave it to the Lord. And if somebody else does something else with it, it's not my business. I'm just called to give, and I'm going to be happy about it because I did my part. I did my part. If somebody else has to answer for something somewhere else, they can answer, and guess what? That is God's business. God's business with me is that I give. Get, you know, selfishness off me, right? It's about giving. We hear this morning. We see the video, the testimony. I've been to India. There's things you could never explain to Americans. It's not belittling us. I'm just telling you, there's things that you cannot explain. Your words are not sufficient. It would be like, I'm sorry, you have to come with me. See for yourself. Taste and see for yourself. You can't adequately do it. And so you know what? I want us to continue in the attitude of Christ, who left everything for the benefit of others, that we can do the same. Doesn't mean you can't have stuff. It's about the attitude of your heart. It doesn't mean you can't invest. It's about the attitude of your heart. It is about the attitude of our heart. I have watched wealthy, wealthy people have a great attitude. And you know what? God uses them, and they give liberally. I've watched those who are wealthy, and I've watched their stingy attitude. I've watched those who don't have much have a generous attitude. I've watched those who don't have much and their greedy attitude. It's not about how much you have or how much you don't have that makes you greedy or not. It's an attitude of the heart. It's not about how many storehouses you have, or how many outbuildings you have, or how many bank accounts you have, or what your 401 went down to. It's about the attitude. And here's the deal. You can mask it from people, but you can't hide it from the Lord. So, I want us to be a generous people. Because it's what He instructs us to do. And we're to be cheerful about it. We're to be cheerful about it. When push comes to shove at the end of my life, I am not going to say on my bed while I still have sound mind if this is the way that I should go. I'm not going to say, please, can you open the double doors? And before I go, could you just bring my Harley in? I'm going to say, where's my son? Where's my daughters? Am I going first or you? If I go first, I'm going to say, where's my wife? Where's my grandkids? Where's my best friend? My mind is not going to be on my Harley. If I have one, then. I don't know. Harleys. Maybe I'll have more. I don't know. This is not my way of breaking this news to you that I haven't. You know. It's what I'm saying is it, this is stuff and we enjoy it, but you know what? This is about having an attitude of generosity and giving of all that we have. Not just, now listen, don't be lazy Americans and just give money. This is about generosity with our time. Our culture has swung to a very insulated life. We chat with more people and email and text more people and have more contacts, but we have become more insulated with our time. Selfish with our time. But though we have more communication, we actually spend less time with people. You be generous with your time. Be generous with your money. Be generous with being inconvenienced. You know, one of the beautiful things about Jesus, there's so many things, I mean, everything is, but I never, you know, and they don't record everything that Jesus did, we know that. Books couldn't hold it. But he never seemed to be in a hurry. I'm sure there were moments where it's like, guys, let's hustle, you know. But I know a lot of times the disciples were saying, let's go, or the people around were saying, come on, come on, come on. And he was generous with people. And generosity with time does not make up for being cheap with your money. And being generous with your money does not make up for being cheap with your time. Don't measure yourself by yourself, because yourself is not the standard. Myself is not the standard. He is. And I fall short. But he's not done yet. He's not done yet with me. So would you do me this favor? Stand up all over this room. Do I want you to be challenged? Yeah, I am. Do I want you to be inspired by him? The truth of his word? Yeah. Do I want your emotions affected because it's part of you? Yeah, of course. But I want our thinking to be changed to the point that my decisions and how I give are changed. How I treat people is changed. It's about the attitude. And if it's an inward attitude, it will show up in your action or lack thereof. I got to be honest with you. One of the things I'm kind of excited about, you know, growing up and not making much money and getting married and not making much money and having 4 children in 4.5 years and raising the family and all, you know, it was very expensive. And as they're making their way out of our house, I'm excited about getting some things in order financially in my own home. And I'm excited because part of that is, as they leave, need to take, you know, some better care of some things that we've just basically done for our kids that we need to take care of. But the other part of this is, I'm looking forward to giving more than we have. I mean, we've given. And once again, it's not about the amount. We've had we all need to prove our attitude, but we've had an attitude of being generous and not holding on to things and all of that, to follow God, embrace Him and all that. But I am kind of excited about giving more. Because it's not just talk and it's not just a dream. We are going to hopefully embark on some days because some of our costs, some of our costs are going to go down. Because when you move out, this is news, when you move out, you pay for it. We just had this discussion this morning because she's getting ready to leave. And she may be back. Whatever the Lord had. No. I just want you to feel like you can't come home. Okay? We just had this talk this morning. You know, she's getting ready to move. She's saving money. She's got a lot of expenses. And she goes to her closet, which most of it's packed. The other portion's really on the floor. I don't even know if there's anything hanging in your closet. Anyhow, then she comes down to her mother's closet. And she can't find in there what she really wants either, because she doesn't own her house. I said, well, black skirt, why don't you just go, I don't really have one. And then she comes over and does the... Can you see my eyes? They're batting. They're blinking. Maybe before I go, we could go. We could go shopping. If it'll get you out of my house. No, I'm kidding you. If we don't get the shot before you leave, I will give you... Is it being recorded? As if I've not kept my word to you. I didn't fully say it, but you want me to finish it? I'll give you $3. I'm kidding you. We'll make sure that you have some black clothes for your new employment. Praise the Lord. Would you be a generous person? If it is not your natural tendency, it does not give you an excuse not to be one. It's just like those of you that are naturally crabby, that does not give you a license to not be happy. Just like those of you who are constantly jovial, it does not give you license not to be serious when it's time.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.